This piece was brought to you by the Tabard Inn, tabardinn.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business. Over the past few months, a series of raids have occurred that target the owners of animals who are bred for their fur. North America is seeing a resurgence of the guerrilla war against the fur industry. Mink has been the hardest hit by these so-called Dark of Night raids. In fact, more than $777,000 worth of pelts have been liberated since late July. The government uses the term eco-terrorism to describe this type of animal rights activism. While no one is arguing that trespassing and tampering with livestock is a criminal activity, there are many who feel that it is inaccurate and hyperbolic to call this kind of activity terrorism. Journalist and author of Green is the New Red, Will Potter, is outspoken on this issue.
These groups that are being labeled as eco-terrorists haven't sent anthrax through the mail. They haven't flown planes into buildings. They haven't done any of those things that the word terrorism makes people think about. They've never harmed a human being. And at the same time, though, we have groups that have histories of violence, histories of bloodshed, right-wing extremists, anti-abortion groups, killing doctors, that have escaped that kind of terrorist rhetoric. So I think it really shows the powerful interests that are behind this right now.
Both the government and these type of activists have accused each other of being terrorists. Those who depend on animal fur as their livelihood feel unfairly victimized by the activists involved in these crimes. According to the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act that passed in 2006, removing minks from their farms is a federal crime, and the very fact that there is a bill that labels animal liberators as terrorists makes these individuals feel unfairly categorized. According to the bill, terrorism is defined as force, violence, and threats involving animal enterprises, so statements alone may be grounds for prosecution. While raising minks for fur is certainly controversial, Michael Wayland from Fur Commission USA argues that overnight liberation efforts do far more harm than good.
The large majority of mink that are released, and depending on the environment in which they're released into, are killed within 24 to 48 hours after being released. They've been bred on farms for over 100 years, so a lot of the wild instincts are bred out of them. They're attracted to traffic because that's the sound of the feed cart to them, so they'll immediately head for the highway. They don't know how to fend for themselves. They don't know how to seek out water or food, so they'll die of dehydration or starvation. They have no sense of, predatory animals. So a lot of them are killed by coyotes. They don't know to get away from predators. So yeah, it's a pretty horrendous situation for them when they're off the farm.
According to Matt Bruce of animal rights organization PETA, fur production is both environmentally hazardous and not necessary.
Each mink skin by fur farmers produces about 44 pounds of feces in his or her lifetime. That adds up to about 1 million pounds of feces produced annually by U.S. mink farms alone. Fur farmers are notorious for poisoning waterways that go into cities, being fined by these cities. Raising animals for their fur also pollutes the air. For instance, in Denmark, where more than 2 million minks are killed for their fur annually, more than 8,000 pounds of ammonia is released into the atmosphere each year. Nobody's hiking to the top of Mount Everest in fur coats. They're using synthetic materials like thinsulate, for example. These furs aren't keeping people warm. It's more just as like a status symbol, but it's losing a lot of public favor because people are seeing what's happening to these animals. As a last-ditch effort, the fur industry is trying to tell people that it is eco-friendly when in reality, study after study proves that it is much more damaging to the environment than a synthetic coat.
PETA asserts that many animals used in fur production are tossed into landfills after being harvested for their fur and are treated with chemicals that make their meat inedible. Michael Wayland from the Fur Commission USA argues that there are sustainable ways to use a mink after it is harvested for its fur.
The remains are used in a variety of products. They're rendered into the oils. You've probably heard of mink oils, probably the finest leather conditioner available. Also, those oils are used in cosmetics and even tire care products. Remains are also used in organic composts. It's the primary meat used in crab baiting for the crabbing industry. So, yeah, the entire animal is used.
Meanwhile, the fur business is booming these days. Nearly 70% of fashion designers used fur in their autumn-winter 2013 collections, and the price of mink pelt stands at an all-time high of $100. So where do we go from here? We know that animal liberation is not the most effective way to protect animals, and fur production remains controversial both on an ethical and an environmental level. Fashion designers such as Stella McCartney and Victoria Bartlett have proven that fashion can exist without using any animal materials. However, fur is part of the cultural fabric of many people's understanding of fashion. Where do you stand on this issue? Tweet us at @heritage_radio. I'm Sari Kamen for heritageradionetwork.org.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. The song used in this piece is Beliefs Are Free by P. Villa. Thanks for listening.